On today's show, I am starting my series ranking the top 30 Texas Rangers prospects with some new faces on this list and some exciting moves up and down a very, very deep farm system. All that and more on this episode of Locked On Rangers. Let's get into it.
You are Locked On Rangers, your daily Texas Rangers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are locked on to the Texas Rangers. I'm Bryce Patrick, a cripplingly addicted Texas Rangers fan since 2010, the founder and host for all four seasons of this Locked On Rangers podcast. On today's show, I'm going to be getting into my first of three series ranking the top 30 Rangers prospects. Today's episode is going number 21 through 30 in the system. Before we get into that, today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline, it's where the game starts. Now, it's been a hot minute since I have done one of these lists, well, literally since the middle of last season. It's also been a while since I have done an episode, just taking some time during the holidays to kind of, you know, rest, relax, be with some family. Hopefully you did the same. And hopefully my voice doesn't give out nearly as badly as it did in the last episode. There haven't been a whole lot of Rangers news since that episode, so I felt pretty okay leaving y'all to yourselves since the Rangers decided to sign, of course, another pitcher. And the only other Rangers news that's really happened is Willie Calhoun signed a minor league deal with the New York Yankees. Congrats to Willie. Hope that all works out and hope that he is just as amazing as the last minor leaguer who went to New York in Matt Carpenter. Hope he rakes just that much and has a great career. But there are a few guys that have been bumped off this list, not for being bad. Some of them are just no longer here. And the rest of them are because they're big leaguers. They no longer have rookie eligibility. So therefore, they are no longer prospects. Those guys include Ezekiel Duran, Josh Smith, Bubba Thompson, and Cole Reagans. AJ Alexi is no longer in the Rangers system, so he is not on this list this year. And honestly, if he was still with the organization, I think I probably would have bumped him off just because some other guys have had some better seasons. But there are a few new names, and we will get into all of those. I think that the Rangers had not drafted yet before I came out with my list, or it was right during the middle of that list. So the Rangers top draft picks, they will be on this list somewhere. No spoilers, but they're not going to be on 30 through 20. Anyway, without further ado, let's get into it. Number 30 on my list is a left-handed pitcher, Larson Kendrick, a 6'4", 210-pound lefty, drafted in the eighth round of the 2021 MLB draft out of Biola University in California. He had a decent first half of the season, started the year in Down East as a 23-year-old, a 2.37 ERA in 38 innings with those Down East guys, five starts, nine games. Two of those games were ones that he finished. Then he got bumped up to Hickory, and it wasn't quite as smooth sailing for him there. A 5.40 ERA in 26 and two-thirds innings. Did strike out 36 in that span, but overall, not the best year for him. Last year, he had a much, much better season in a very, very small sample size with the Arizona Complex League, a 1.13 ERA in eight innings that year, which was his first professional season in the minor leagues. This year, in 64 combined innings, he had 91 strikeouts, but 45 walks, a real big walk problem, got much, much worse as he went up a level to Hickory, 8.4 walks per nine there, but 4.7 walks per nine at the lower level Down East. Has been really, really good at striking batters out, especially in the minor leagues. 13.5 Ks per nine in two minor league seasons is what you love to see. Has limited the home runs to half a homer per nine, under six hits per nine. So does a good job of limiting base runners for the most part, reaching via the hit or the homer and striking guys out, but really needs to work on that walk problem. Not sure if he's going to stick as a starter, but I like what this guy's got. Number 29 on my list is maybe a little bit of a surprise, but it is JoJo Blackman, an outfielder who plays left, right, and center. A decent bit of center, is incredibly fast. He is 19 years old. The Rangers acquired him in the 11th round of the 2021 draft, and he is just super fast. That is the main thing you need to know about JoJo Blackman. And he hit really well this year. He spent time in Down East just a little bit, 16 games there that weren't super great for him. But in the Arizona Complex League, he was fantastic this year offensively. 38 games there, 159 plate appearances with a 920 OPS, an on base of 382. That is what you really, really love to see, and made the most of his speed. 16 steals to just one caught stealing. And the Complex League wasn't quite as great in Down East, where he played 16 games there. Hit 160, on base of 250, slugged 340, and OPS below 600, and only stole two bases to just one caught stealing. But I'm really focusing on what he did in the Complex League. He had 8 home runs there, 4 triples, and 4 doubles in under 40 games. That is a really, really impressive thing to see for him. Speed is something that you cannot teach, and he's obviously got a little bit of pop to go with it. Having 8 home runs in under 40 games at any level for a 19-year-old is really, really impressive, and to see him have that to go along with his elite speed, would like to see the pitch recognition get a little bit better and walk at a little bit higher clip. 22 walks in 159 plate appearances is pretty solid, but I would like to see it be just a little bit higher, because that can really play up that speed tool if he is walking at an elite level as well. Really, really nice season for him. Wasn't on a whole lot of radars. I don't think I've seen him on pretty much any Rangers top 20, 30, 40, 75 lists. Actually, that's a lie. I do think that he was on Jamie Newberg's top 72 prospects that he did last year. But for the most part, has kind of been an under-the-radar guy. Can't teach speed, hits for power at a young age, and did it at a pretty, pretty high level. I'm excited about this kid. We'll see how it goes once he sticks in full season for a full year. But future seems pretty bright for this kid, who's got some loud tools. Next on this list, we have Alejandro Ozuna, another outfielder who hits left-handed, plays left, right, and center. This year, split time between Hickory and Down East. He is 19 years old from Ahome, Mexico, and is 19 years old. Yeah, pretty young, and still doing pretty well at a young level. Didn't do as well once he got boosted up to Hickory, but for 76 games in Down East, he absolutely dominated. Had an 845 OPS, hit over 300, on base just 6 points below 400, and slugged 451 while playing left, right, and center field. 8 home runs for him, 13 doubles, and 1 triple in 320 plate appearances at Down East. Once he got bumped up to Hickory, was 3.5 years younger than the average position player in the Sally League. 21 games, 89 plate appearances, still hit 282 with a 318 on base, but the power numbers went way, way down. Only 1 home run and 2 doubles, a 346 slugging percentage, and a 664 OPS, which was just about 180 points lower than what he did at the lower level. But excited about this kid, has shown some potential, really, really jumped on the radar. There was not a whole lot of buzz about him when the Rangers acquired him. I think he did jump onto the top 30 prospects of MLB Pipeline, but there has not been a whole lot of buzz about this guy. I kind of thought about adding him at midseason last year, but still, solid season for him, and some really solid guys, including one that I really didn't consider until I saw him on MLB Pipeline's top 30 prospects coming up. But first, this episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline.net is your number one source for sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. You can get the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there. From pro football to college bowl season to basketball, we've got it all at BetOnline.net. If you love sports podcasts, you can even find those at BetOnline as well. They are always the fastest and easiest way to get your betting info. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more, because BetOnline, it's where the game starts. Now, the next guy on this list, we are going to our second pitcher of the list, and a guy who has made his big league debut. That is right-handed pitcher Yeri Rodriguez, who is 6'2", 192 pounds. He is 25 years old from the Santiago in the Dominican Republic. Made his major league debut this year on the final day of the season, pitched a scoreless inning, and a nice moment for him that was nearly forgotten in a weird, weird final series of the year. Yeri Rodriguez is 24 years old. He is a reliever. He's got some pretty nasty stuff. He's got a four-seamer and a sinker. The four-seamer averaged 98.4 miles per hour the 4 times that he threw it in the big leagues this year, and the sinker averaged 98.2 miles an hour, but he threw the slider the most at 8 times. That averaged 82.5 miles per hour, got a strikeout, got allowed a single, no walks. Pretty solid debut for him. Very uneventful, and was nearly missed on the broadcast because it was the last day of Tom Grieve being in the Texas Rangers booth. But really up and down season for him at Round Rock, just completely like 1 month he'd be absolutely amazing, 1 month he'd be kind of terrible. Did have a bit of a problem with the walks this year, 4.9 walks per nine, 1.4 homers per nine, but did still have 11.1 strikeouts per nine at Round Rock. He pitched 59 innings this year with 73 strikeouts, 32 walks, and 9 home runs at a 4.27 ERA. Last year, he was still a starter for the most part. Towards the end of the year, once he got bumped up to Round Rock, had some real, real struggles, and then put him in the pen, which is probably where he is going to stay. I don't see him making the transition back to the starting rotation, but has got some really nasty stuff. I do think that he has a pretty decent chance to make the Rangers opening day roster. The stuff is really raw. If he can get more consistent with it and can stay in the strike zone without giving up those home runs and without walking too many batters, this is a guy whose stuff is up there with some of the best in the Rangers system and could be up there among the best in the Rangers pen. But the consistency is what is holding him back. Really, really liked what I saw from him last year. Hope that he can sustain some of those hot streaks and limit some of those cold streaks. But some really nice stuff from Yuri Rodriguez, who is a big leaguer now. So congratulations on that. Hopefully he will have more big league innings to come and will be off this list by midseason next year. Who knows? But number 26, we have Josh Steffen, a right-handed pitcher who is from the area, went to South Grand Prairie High School. He is 21 years old, born in DeSoto, Texas, a right-handed pitcher, listed at 6'3", 185 pounds this year. Was really, really solid for him. Last year was his pro debut at 19. Wasn't anything too special. Did all right in the complex league, a sub-4 ERA, but then got boosted up to Down East for 3 games and got absolutely lit up. This year, he started the year in Down East and was really, really good in 18 games. 16 of those were starts. This year, as a 20-year-old in Down East, 1.7 years younger than the average pitcher in that league, he threw 91 and two-thirds innings with 102 strikeouts and 2.4 walks per night. Really, really solid stuff from him this year. Then he got bumped up to Hickory, where he was 3 years younger than the average pitcher in the league, a 1.54 ERA in 3 games, 11 and two-thirds innings, 13 strikeouts and 7 walks. So the walks jumped up there quite a bit there in the higher level, which is expected because, of course, you go to higher level, guys have better plate discipline and all that good stuff, but still a very small sample size, just 3 games there as opposed to 18 at the lower level, but still a really, really solid season for him. The Rangers acquired him. I believe he was one of the undrafted players after the 2020 draft that they went and signed, a local kid who they probably were able to get some more eyes on than other teams were. But still, a really, really solid acquisition for them. There's not a whole lot of buzz about this kid, but he jumped onto MLB Pipeline's top 30 prospects, and I had to take a look at him because I'm like, all right, what made him jump on there? And he kind of flew under the radar, under my radar, but kind of looking at what he did this year, he definitely deserves to be on the top 30. A really solid season for Josh Steffen, a name that you will want to watch. And I'm curious as to where they start him next year. I'm assuming it'll probably be in Hickory, but who knows? They might want to get aggressive with this kid, but still only 3 starts there. I think that's probably where he will end up. Maybe he'll make his Frisco debut at midseason, but who knows? Next guy on this list has been here for a while, an extremely mixed bag of a season for him. That is right-handed pitcher Ricky Venasco, the 6'3", 180-pound starting pitcher, is 24 years old. The Rangers drafted him in the 15th round back in 2017, has got some really, really nasty stuff, but again, has been very inconsistent. Stop me if you've heard that one before. Really struggled with walks this year, but for his career, but made it up to Frisco anyway. despite an up and down season with Hickory, which is where he started the year. He was 23 years old and was in Frisco. Two outings for him in Frisco, a 6.75 ERA, 8 innings, 7 strikeouts, and 5 walks and 2 home runs, but was able to pitch in the Texas League playoffs. And if my memory serves, he did fairly well there. Had some pretty great starts in Hickory this year. Also some big blow-up starts. Did have a start with 10 plus strikeouts and only 2 runs in 5 innings for Hickory back towards the end of June. Also had another outing, 5-plus innings, but going deep into games was not a strength of him this year. Had a few outings of 5 innings towards the end of his time in Hickory, which is what was able to get him the call-up. Also, the season was ending in Hickory, and the Rangers needed some more pitchers in Double-A to go on that stretch run. He's got some nasty stuff, and you know what? Sometimes it works out and goes where he wants it to. But some really, really nice raw stuff from him. I had him way, way higher last year, but this was an extreme mixed bag. I do think that he's eventually going to end up in the bullpen, where he's going to be a really, really nasty reliever. But even if you are a really nasty reliever, you cannot be walking 5 batters per 9 innings and expect to hold down a consistent job in the back end of the bullpen. But the stuff is definitely nasty enough to put him there and be absolutely dominant, but he needs to get that walk problem under control. Still, ended up as a successful season for Ricky Vanasco. Coming up, we're going to get into the only guest on the only minor league guest that has been on this podcast and one of the most fascinating prospects that the Rangers have. But first, this episode is brought to you by Built Bar. If you're looking for a delicious treat but don't want all of the fat and calories, then you have got to try Built Bar. We just got through the holidays, and I know my goal is to eat a little bit healthy this year. And if you're like me, you'll want to eat healthier as well, but you don't want to compromise on taste. And man, I've got the thing for you. You have got to try Built. With Built, healthy is actually tasty. Seriously, they are so delicious, you won't think that they're good for you, but they are perfect for your New Year's resolution. What makes them so good? Well, for starters, they're covered in 100% real chocolate. That's right, real chocolate. And they come in unbelievably good flavors like churro, peanut butter brownie, coconut almond. I'm not sure how Built does it, but they make those bars taste like a candy bar. And they are just absolutely fantastic for you. They've got 17 grams of protein, only 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar in their average bar. It is just so good. And now don't wait around to get a box. Go to built.com, and now you can get them at your local Walmart or Sam's Club. That's right. Head to your nearest Walmart today. Walk to the pharmacy section and grab yourself a box of Built Bars. You can pick up a 4-bar pack of cookies and cream, double chocolate, or coconut puffs. If you're close to Sam's Club, run and grab a 13-bar box of our hit flavors, brownie, batter, and churro. You can thank me later at built.com. Now, let's get to number 24 on the list. We have Zach Kent, a right-handed pitcher who is still a starting pitcher. Could end up making some starts for the Rangers this year. Might end up making the bullpen out of spring training. Could be a very, very dangerous right-handed relief pitcher. Had a extreme mixed bag of a season. The first half was just really, really rough for Zach Kent. Last year, he had a breakout year, made it all the way to Double-A, and looked really, really nice when I saw him in Double-A that year. Also looked nice in a smaller outing that I saw later on in the season this year. But the first half was really, really rough. Had an ERA over 8 in April. In May, he had an ERA over 6. In June, it was 5.6. And in July, everything just clicked. 5 starts for him that month and a 1.13 ERA in 16 innings with 18 strikeouts. Was just absolutely dominating there. A little bit of a rougher outing in August, a 4.03 ERA, but then settled down in September when he was called up to Round Rock, a 1.67 ERA in 5 starts there, 27 innings and 23 strikeouts. A guy who has got some really, really nice stuff, a true 5-pitch pitcher, one of the nastiest sliders that the Rangers have in their system, and he uses that as his primary pitch. He's got 2 different fastballs, a 4-seamer that cuts and a 2-seamer that runs in on hitters. Changeup is working, and the curveball is in the mix as well. I think he could be a really, really nice guy to get through the order 1 or 2 times at the big league level. Maybe he could still be a starter. He's got some stuff that is, you know, it's capable of getting through a big league lineup. The fastball plays up pretty well, and those 2 fastballs complement each other very, very well. The slider, he's got a good command for it. And he just wasn't trusting his other pitches earlier in the season. As he moved on later in the season, was trusting that, all right, I've got five pitches that I feel good about. But early on when he was getting lit up, he has a great slider, but he was trusting that a little bit too much and not feeling comfortable going with some of his other pitches to keep hitters off guard. Really, really love that he was able to bounce back this season. Great kid. And I think that he is going to be on a big league mound this year. I don't know when. I honestly think that it could be out of camp, but he's probably going to start the season in AAA unless he has a really, really great spring training, which again is entirely possible. Or maybe the Rangers go in and sign some other bullpen guy because they just can't stop signing pitchers this offseason. But that's fine. That's fine. Signing good pitchers is good. And Zach Kent is good and should be a part of this Rangers bullpen, or maybe the starter rotation for many years to come. Number 23, we are going on the younger side for this one. We have shortstop / second baseman Danier Cueva, who is an 18-year-old. He is going to turn 19 at the end of May, born in 2004. Gosh, doesn't that make you feel old? He was born in Los Gallos, Venezuela, and had a really, really solid season this year with the Rangers. Did end up making his full season debut for just a smidge at the end of the year, five games there. But for the most part, we're going to focus on what he did in the Arizona Complex League as an 18-year-old. He hits left-handed, throws right-handed, played primarily shortstop this year, had five home runs, 10 doubles, and one triple in 44 games in the Complex League, an 859 OPS, hit .330. On base of .376 and slugged .483. That is what you absolutely love to see from these youngsters. 10 walks to 40 strikeouts, 10 walks in 189 plate appearances is solid. He's not a guy who's going to walk a whole bunch. Would like to see him walk just a little bit more, but the power is there. It seems like he's done a pretty decent job at shortstop. He's going to stay there for the moment, and I think that he's probably going to start the year in Down East next season as a 19-year-old. Curious to see what he looks like in his first full season of stateside action. Well, I guess first full season action in the stateside, because he has had full season action. There we go. Now I'm not tripping over my word. That is what we are hoping from him. But nice to see a left-handed hitting shortstop. The Rangers have one of those, and they're pretty nice to have. Might end up as a second baseman, but still, as of now, he's a shortstop who is hitting for power, hitting for average, and getting on base at a decent enough clip. We'll see what he looks like next year, but there's a lot of potential there. Haven't been able to see him in person and haven't had a whole lot of guys who have had eyes on this guy, but stats alone will tell you he had a really, really solid season. Number 22 on this list is an outfielder who I have had eyes on firsthand. That is Trevor Hauver, who is, I feel like they need to just take out the second baseman in his positions listed on Baseball Reference, but he was acquired in the Joey Gallo trade from the New York Yankees. He is 24 years old, won't turn 25 until November of next year, so the end of the season, but was drafted out of Arizona State in the third round by the Yankees back in 2020 and had a pretty solid season this year. He is a guy who is kind of similar in his profile to Aaron Zavala. Both of them walk at a very high clip. Both of them hit for a decent amount of power and didn't have the highest batting average this year. So they were very, very similar in my mind. I do like Aaron Zavala quite a bit more because he ended up picking up that batting average just a little bit more and makes a little bit harder contact. But Hauver's got a really, really good eye at the plate, had a .432 on base percentage in 21 games at Frisco this year, a .376 on base in Hickory this year, 82 games there. He had 13 home runs in Hickory, 4 home runs in Frisco, finished the season with an .814 OPS across both of those levels, slugged over .400 at .427, on base of .387 at both those levels. Batting average was just .220, and he is a guy who is probably going to want to get that a little bit higher, is still going to walk at an elite rate no matter where he is. I like that he finally started to show his power. Took until around the middle of the season. Otherwise, I didn't think that he would end up seeing Frisco this year, but he had a little bit of the 2021 Nathaniel Lowe syndrome in that he had the raw power, but was a little bit too a little bit too patient at the plate for his own good, but still love to see a guy with an elite walk rate and a loud power tool that he can eventually get out there. He's not a second baseman. He's not going to be a second baseman. He's probably going to be a corner outfielder slash DH. I saw him a little bit in the outfield last year. He was fine. Not great. I don't love him in right field. I think it's probably a left field slash DH slash maybe first base role for him. He is 6 foot, 205 pounds. So I think any of those positions could be just fine for him. But I think he's just a guy who's going to be carried by his offense. The defense is nothing spectacular, and maybe it'll end up being average in left field. But I think that he's got some pop and an on base that is that high. A plate discipline and a good approach at the plate is something that is very, very valuable. And it showing through at the high level is an important thing for him. I think he'll eventually be a big leaguer to a capacity. Not entirely sure, but I liked his game this year more than I thought I would. It just would be nice if he could also play second base, but I don't think that's going to be the case. And the last one on today's show, we have number 21, right-handed pitcher Emiliano Teodoro. This guy is absolutely fascinating. Listed at 6'1", 165 pounds. He is 21 years old, will turn 22 on Valentine's Day this year. So happy birthday for him. But he was born in Barahona in the Dominican Republic this year, was his first full season ball, is still a starting pitcher, pitched in 22 games, 17 of those were starts this year, 84 and a third innings, 115 strikeouts, 12.3 strikeouts per nine, 4.7 walks per nine, 5.4 hits per nine for this kid. Just a fascinating, fascinating player. He's got a really interesting arsenal, a fastball that hits triple digits, sits pretty much triple digits, has a curveball that sits in the low 90s. Yeah, a curveball. And a changeup that occasionally exists, occasionally. But he is just a guy who has got some of the consistently weirdest splits out there, including a start that I think really, really encapsulates what he did as a whole best. There we go. It is on August 4th against the Fredericksburg Nationals. He went 5 innings, allowed no hits, 1 walk, and 10 strikeouts. That is just a very, very him line. Had another game where he went 4 hitless innings and 3 walks and 11 strikeouts that game. He's just a fascinating, fascinating player who just is, if he puts it all together, could be absolutely phenomenal. I don't know much about that changeup, but I know the fastball and the curveball are fantastic. He's got a little bit better command of the curveball than the fastball at present. I wouldn't be surprised if he started the year in Down East yet again, but they're probably going to be a little bit more aggressive with him in Hickory. And if the walk problems are there in the lower levels, they are definitely going to be there in the upper levels. If he can get some command on that fastball, even if he just goes a primarily two-pitch pitcher with a changeup just every, 10% of the time to throw batters off. The raw stuff is absolutely phenomenal. Gets a lot of swing and miss on it and has a lot of potential. I do think probably he's going to end up in the bullpen because a guy who doesn't have a whole lot of command and hits triple digits and maintains that for 5 innings probably could be absolutely disgusting out of the pen. But I don't know. I like this kid. I don't know exactly what he is as via a starter or a bullpen guy or a multi-inning bullpen guy, but the raw stuff is nasty. He has got it, and he has got it in spades and was able to be effective at it with it in the Down East with the Down East Wood Ducks. So definitely a guy to keep your eye on. He could skyrocket up through this list next year if he remains a starting pitcher and dominates in Hickory and can cut down on the walk rate just a smidge, because that's really all it would take for this kid to be absolutely electric as a starting pitcher. But that is going to do it for today's show. Thank y'all so much for listening, making it your first listen of the day. For your second listen, check out Locked On MLB Prospects. Host Lindsey Crosby is a prospect encyclopedia, and he's going deep on the MLB stars of tomorrow. It is free and available wherever you get your podcast. So if you like podcasts about prospects, then, well, Lindsey's show is definitely where you want to go after this one. Thank y'all so much for listening and subscribing. And until next time, don't forget to enjoy baseball.